Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo woo! Good Wednesday morning, everybody.
Reggie's back.
Yeah, he's back.
We'll USC did it.
Very shortly.
Yay.
USC did not do it.
Yes, they did.
Not exactly.
They fought
I'm
the power.
I'm not quite ready to talk about the baseball people yet because, LZ, would you consider this a negotiation? If I said to you, hey, I'll do it for X, and you said, no, I'll do it for Y, and then you turned around to me and said, hey, how about Y? And I said, no, how about X? Are we negotiating? Because they just keep repeating the same positions they've had all along.
No, we're dancing off beat is what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm leading, you're leading, no one's leading. You just look like a hot mess. Listen, I don't understand, Travis, why the one sport that needs to take advantage of this moment is the last sport taking advantage of this moment. There's nothing happening. Nothing in terms of live sports on a consistent basis, certainly not from a league perspective. You could have pulled the trigger. We could be watching spring training again. We could be anywhere right now with you guys. But instead, we're talking about how you can't talk to each other. This is the most ridiculous thing, the most ridiculous scenario I think I've ever witnessed in terms of labor disputes.
You know why I don't think it's ridiculous, LZ? And because this is what they've always done. Maybe I'm just ridiculous fatigued that I've just been in this universe for so long, listening to these guys. And by these guys, I mean both the owners and the players. I'm not even making a distinction anymore. That both of these guys are just doing what they've always done, that they're going to make it so we don't get baseball at least on time, or maybe we don't get it at all. And then they're going to pretend that they've come to some sort of agreement and they're doing it for the betterment of the game. And it's exactly the same solution all over again.
Travis, it's absolutely bonkers to me. I mean, when was it when we were talking about Phoenix and I had, you know, a friend of mine who works with all the business leaders and I talked to politicians in the state and were like excited about the prospects. How long ago was that? 2 months?
Yeah.
About
yeah,
the
almost
idea
exactly.
Of playing baseball all in Arizona area and it could work and it's free training, blah, blah, blah. And then it had a two-city solution and we'll do it this way, blah, blah, blah. And that was like 2 months ago.
And now we're
trying
nowhere.
To figure out if we're going to – nowhere. I'm just so baffled by this. I can't believe they're being this stupid.
We'll get to those guys because it's just – it's an incredibly frustrating conversation. The good news, I think it's good news, is that Reggie Bush is coming back to
Woo-hoo!
SC. Reggie Bush gets to be a member of the Trojan family all over again.
SC said no more.
Well, no, that's not true. What happened is that the penalty expired. the penalty that was a 10-year penalty is up. I'll read this to you from the story. The timing comes as a result of an NCAA Committee on Infractions rule adopted in 2017 that limits any mandated disassociation between an individual and a school to 10 years. Bush's disassociation, which came as part of a sweeping sanctions, 14 this, began on June 10th, 2010. Well, looky here. It's June 10th, 2020. So USC did not exactly say, hey, listen, you know what sucks? You know what's a bunch of BS? That Reggie Bush is not a part of our family. Reggie Bush won all those games. Reggie Bush won that Heisman Trophy. Reggie Bush helped us win a national championship. Reggie Bush put together one of the great careers in the history of USC, which has one of the great traditions of college football. USC is all about family. USC is about doing things the right way. We are going to bring Reggie back. Not exactly. What they did was
That's a good speech, Travis. I believe
four, three, two, one. Okay, penalty's over. Okay, hey, guys, we're going to bring Reggie back. That's what they did. So before we jump up and down that they did the right thing, I'm glad he's back. He never should have been gone in the first place. But this idea that USC made it happen is simply not true.
It's not true. It is
take a break.
Not true. And
go get some coffee.
Well, Raj, we're the show of the people. We're a factual show of the people. We're not going to feed them any BS. So don't go out there, SC fans, thinking that the school puffed up with NCAA and we showed them who's boss. That's not what happened at all. What happened was we went to the cashier with an item. She told us it was 50% off, and we didn't notice it was off the 75% off clearance rack. And so we thought she was giving us a break, but we still got screwed. I think that's what happened here. We're trying to characterize this as the NCAA. Yeah, we showed you. But the reality is that no one showed anyone anything except Reggie shouldn't have been punished like that to begin with, and that none of the adults in the room for SC stood up and fought for him. That's what we know. They didn't fight for him. They didn't fight for family. What they did was lifted him up as a sacrificial lamb to a system that is unjust. And it's embarrassing that they made him wait as long as they did that decade to welcome back on campus as if his being on campus didn't give him all that with. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, think about it. 10 years expires today. Okay, 10 years since he was penalized expires today. What happened? What did they accomplish? What did the NCAA accomplish by having Reggie Bush stand in a corner for 10 years? Absolutely nothing. Here's the problem with all of this nonsense about we're going to vacate his records, his Heisman Trophy goes away. LZ, I saw it. I saw it with my own two eyes. I saw it on television. I saw it in person. I saw it at the Coliseum. I saw it at the Rose Bowl. I saw it in the Orange Bowl. I saw it, and it was awesome, and it was wonderful, and he was a dynamic, exciting, legendary college football player. By making him go away for tail, you can't come in. Oh, we're gonna scrub your name from the history. Oh, we're gonna pretend. It's like I don't understand what you did. You crippled the football program for a while. You're taking away 30 scholarships.
Right.
That was, but it didn't do anything to fix the problem. Do we think that anybody isn't getting houses and cars and money and all these other things that come along with being a star college football player? Of course they are. This didn't change the game. This didn't change the rules. It was a silly bookkeeping correction for 10 years, and now we're going back to the way that it was before. It's just it's ludicrous because it didn't prevent anybody else from doing it. Maybe it pushed it slightly further underground for a period of time, but it didn't go away. Come on, man. It's just this is one of these classic, silly, dumb things that the NCAA did and that USC agreed to go along with for reasons that make no sense.
And they're so wildly inconsistent in terms of even identifying what the problem is. You know, you said it didn't fix the problem, and you're absolutely right. Keeping Reggie off of campus for 10 years didn't fix the problem. But they're not interested in fixing the problem. They're interested in punishing people who get caught trying to adjust to their system. That's what they did. If they wanted to fix the problem, they would have figured out what to do back then, what they were forced to do this year, which is acknowledge that these are basically pro athletes and they need to be getting paid some kind of way, so we're going to loosen our rules. That's what they finally acknowledged after a decade. But it wasn't because of the whole SC controversy. It wasn't because of Reggie Bush. It was simply because they were forced to do it because the governments were changing underneath their feet. That's what happened. Gavin Newsom started signing stuff. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. Other states started to follow in suit. That's what happened. It wasn't about Reggie Bush. And I just can't stand the fact that you still have people in our profession, Travis, who are demanding to hear Reggie give an apology or demanding that Reggie show contrition or demanding more from Reggie Bush. That's what makes me sick. This notion that Reggie still has more to pay for.
No, for what? For doing what everybody else has done? That's his. You want him to apologize for being a great football player and taking advantage of that fact? That's what he needs to apologize for? Come on, man.
No, I've already seen it. I've already seen those quote unquote hot takes where it's like, you know, now it's Reggie's turn. And it's like, what? What do you mean now it's Reggie's turn? He has to give back his Heisman Trophy.
What do you mean now it's
his turn?
You know what else just is ridiculous about this whole thing? Because through this, we don't see the highlights. We don't see the – I mean, LZ, you tell me. I remember it like it happened a week ago. Reggie Bush against Fresno State in the Coliseum that night. And him running around like it was Bo Jackson at Tecmo Bowl. He was going from side to side. Nobody could stop him. Nobody could catch him. He was cutting back. He was making moves. He was doing all sorts of things. And you're just watching this going, this is one of the most exciting football players I've seen in a really long time. We haven't seen that stuff in a long time because it's just we're pretending that it didn't happen, at least until today, because the clock struck 000 and we can go back to it. Hopefully no one else has to deal with this. Hopefully there isn't another Reggie Bush on the horizon because of name and likeness, because of the things that you mentioned, that not just Gavin Newsom in California, but other states across the country have decided, you know what? You want to make some money on your name and likeness? Go ahead. Because the truth of it all is the only guys that will make a little real income off of this are guys like Reggie Bush. You know what I mean? That the third string linebacker is not going to all of a sudden drive a Bentley to practice because we open up name and likeness. Reggie Bush might make a little bit of money. Now, is he going to become a millionaire through it? Probably not, but enough to provide his parents with things, enough to have a place to live, enough to drive a car. Yeah, maybe, because he's that good of a player. He's that famous of a player at that big of a program that hopefully no one else has to stand over in the corner for 10 years and wait for the clock to expire so they can go back and be part of the university that they contributed to in an almost incalculable way. What is the value of winning a Heisman Trophy? What is the value of taking your team to the Rose Bowl? What is the value of winning a national championship in the Orange Bowl? What are the values of those things? Because it's far less than a house, far less than a house, but he has to go stand over there because somebody says so. Come on, man.
It's complete and utter garbage. It's such garbage. If they had told me that Reggie Bush was busted with performance enhancement drugs, fine. Do whatever as you will. He cheated the game. But Reggie Bush isn't accused of cheating the game. Some dumbass, you know, columnist or people trying to get hot takes may say some stupid stuff like that. Tim Tebow may try and characterize it that way because he's crazy in the head. He could have been making millions of dollars. He certainly could have been making millions of dollars in college, but he's going to try to convince you, Travis, that he didn't want to make that money because that would have tarnished the game. That's what
I'll
he wanted to tell you. Exactly. But he didn't tarnish the game. Only thing he tarnished was an arbitrary system put together by people who've never been in the position that students like Reggie Bush has been in. That's what was tarnished.
Colin Kaepernick's name has still not been said by the NFL, but a lot of people in the NFL are saying he needs to be back. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Well, Pedro Gomez is not going to have good news the way that the MLS has good news. A breaking story here, breaking news, bum, bum, bum. Major League Soccer has unveiled plans to return to play in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, with the league set to resume July 8th, which what the league is calling the MLS is back tournament. So there you go. MLS is going to start in less than a month. So as far as sports leagues go, I know we've seen some tennis, we've seen some golf, we've seen some NASCAR. But as far as team leagues, MLS is going to start on July 8th. So there you go, baseball, soccer, America's newest pastime is back on the field, and you guys are still arguing over dollars and cents. So well done, baseball.
Way to screw up, baseball. You could have had July 4th. You could have been a contender. But instead, now you look like idiots.
I'm not going to be the guy that makes some crazy statement here, but these are the cold, hard facts, Ozzy. You are an MLS fan. Raj is an MLS fan. Jorge is a soccer fan.
Of course he is.
I am at best somebody that appreciates that people love soccer, but I don't really follow it very closely. It's not my sport because we all have X amount of bandwidth and you watch what you watch, right? With nothing else going on July 8th, I'm going to watch the MLS. And the fact of the matter is,
hell yeah.
The fact of the matter is, I may watch and say, oh, wow, you know what? This is great. This is really exciting. Because it's the only thing on, maybe I will watch it. Maybe I'll find out that I really do like it. And maybe whatever baseball I'm going to watch, I'm not going to say I'm not going to watch the Dodgers. I'm a Dodger fan, have been since I've been 5 years old. I'm always going to be a Dodger fan. But maybe just a little bit less baseball in my life and a little bit more of whatever is coming in now, in this case, MLS, it's not a crazy calculus. It's not an unreasonable equation to say, hey, look, they came back when it was the only thing here. Let me check it out. Oh, hey, I like it. It's like your favorite restaurant. You can't get a table. So you go to the place next door and you find out you like it just as much. Guess what happens? You stop going to the other place. It happens.
Right. It absolutely does happen. And especially if you find out the other place was full of idiots and not run well, you know, and that's what we're discovering. There is no reason why MLS should be able to restart before you're able to start. There's just no reason for it except for silly pride, ego, ridiculous level of untrust, distrust between the two parties. Soccer was the last sporting event I attended before the pandemic hit. March 8th, Sunday, back in California. Am I right, Jorge?
Yes, sir. That was it.
We were together. That was it. And look, and here we are, and soccer is going to be the first thing I probably see. That's live. How in the hell did you let soccer do that to you, baseball? How in the hell? That doesn't make any sense to me. Basketball, the NBA has a plan. The NBA has a plan.
And a date.
You have been and a date. You've been talking about your plan since late March. Your plan since late March. I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense to me. This is like someone saying, you know what? You're the one. Let's get married. Okay, I got an engagement ring, and it's been 20 years, and we still try to set the date. Like,
if, yeah, guess what?
Like,
guess what?
I'm like, come on. Either cancel the season or get married already. But this is making you look even worse. Yeah, this is making you look so awful.
Speaking of making things look worse and making things look awful, Roger Goodell has still not said Colin Kaepernick's name. Malcolm Jenkins, who, of course, we talked about last week when he was very critical and hurt of Drew Brees' comments, he was on CBS yesterday saying the Roger Goodell statement is meaningless without the mention of Colin Kaepernick.
That's the only thing that people want to hear. If it's not going to correct that or acknowledge that, then everything else, you know, doesn't need to be said.
So we talked a lot about this. Elsie, you've mentioned that you thought there might be some legal mumbo jumbo preventing him from saying it. And maybe there is. Here's my question with that, though. Typically, if I'm prevented from saying somebody's name and everybody's screaming at me saying, hey, why aren't you saying his name? I'm going to make sure that somebody knows the information as to why I'm not doing it. I'm going to leak it somewhere else. So maybe the NFL can't say Colin Kaepernick's name because of legal reasons, because of some agreement that they've struck with Colin Kaepernick. But wouldn't you leak it to one of the countless people that would love to have this sort of information? They say, look, we didn't purposely leave Colin Kaepernick out of this. We didn't forget to leave Colin Kaepernick out of this. We can't say his name because of legal ramifications. Therefore, everybody needs to know that we didn't do it maliciously. We did it legally because there's a huge difference between those two things. And nobody's come out and said the reason they're not doing it is because of legal reasons. We're speculating, but we don't know for sure.
Well, I have to believe it's legal because my faith in humanity, Travis, will absolutely dissipate if you're telling me that in trying to come across as a sincere enterprise or sincere entity, you're going to do something so disingenuous, even in the midst of that. Like, my faith in humanity will just absolutely be shot if that's the reality. That there's, even while trying to tap into something that's very important and good that's happening, you still have to hold on to this one little piece of fiber because your ego won't let you say you're wrong for this reason. I would hate to think that of Roger Goodell. I would hate to think that of the NFL owners, because then, honestly, then I'm seriously thinking about just not watching. Then I've gone from, you know, oh, I work with you, to like, you know what, F you. All right. We got people in the streets marching. We have people in the streets dying. We have a movement that's happening to try to address something that's been plaguing this country for centuries. And in the midst of all that, you're going to try and tap into it, but still hold a grudge. If that's the league, then I just am really just disgusted by it. So instead of going there, Travis, I'm going to assume that the agreement that they reached required them not to say that, or it could be some sort of breach, and that frees Kaepernick up to say things that they don't want to get out. That's what I'm going to assume. That makes legally sense to me, but more importantly, morally, that makes sense to me.
It makes perfect sense, but also because, look, I mean, you mentioned it a couple of days ago. We talked about it yesterday. We're talking about it again today. The momentum of, hey, where's his name, is gaining speed. And without an explanation, we're left to wonder. And when we wonder, like the bad part of what you all just said, the fact that, you know, ego getting involved, the fact that there's malice involved, that those are the sorts of things that bubble up, as opposed to, you know, going to one of the, we know the guys that cover this league intimately. We know the guys that have access to people like this that, hey, listen, this wasn't an oversight. This was necessary. I had no other choice. Make sure that that gets out in the universe. That's usually how these things happen. We're not hearing it. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean that it can't have been exactly that it couldn't be a legal situation. But if I were in Roger Goodell's shoes, or I was in the NFL's shoes, I would certainly want everybody to know that I am not doing this on purpose. I'm doing this because I am contractually, legally obligated to not mention his name until he's back on a team, which we're hearing more and more people talk about, that they expect him maybe to be back. They expect other teams to give him a shot. Here's Jeff Saturday on Get Up saying that he believes teams are going to give Kaepernick a look.
When you're talking about, will Cap get an opportunity? I think even going back last year, a little bit of time ago, when Cap did the workout down in Atlanta, and kind of all the chaos that, you know, ensued around all that workout, I think more teams may give him an opportunity to come in and work out and show what his ability is at this moment.
We'll see, right? Because we've heard, you know, people give him a look. If they get in a situation where they need a quarterback, they'll give him a look. Obviously, the ground has moved underneath the entire world in the last couple of weeks, but I've heard this before. I've heard that teams will give him a look before, and he's still not in the league.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, I have hope because, you know, as you mentioned, the room's changed. The space has changed. You know, we started the show talking about Reggie Bush. One of the big contributing factors to it being moved from a permanent ban to a 10-year one, and now here we are in this conversation, is because people's attitudes are starting to change. And that committee have different influences in terms of how the rules should be set. And that's the same thing that's happening right now when it comes to the NFL. Our attitudes are changing. It's people are realizing what he was trying to do, and it's really unique, because usually what happens in these situations is that that person is dead before society realizes mm-hmm. what they were trying to do was right. You know, we're fortunate that Kaepernick is not only still alive, but he's still in his prime. He's only 32 years old. He actually has an opportunity to be celebrated by being brought back, because he tried to take the league where it begrudgingly ended up going. He just was first. And unfortunately, especially in sports, the first, you should get the brunt of it. Kurt Flood, always think about him.
John Carlos and Tommy Smith took decades to be recognized for what they did. I mean, that did not happen
yes.
the next day. People were not saying, oh, wow, way to stand up for what you believe in. That was, these guys are, you know, traitors. These guys are unpatriotic, un-American. It definitely takes some time. All right, soccer is back. They have a date. We know basketball is back. We know that the NFL has their schedule on schedule. When is baseball going to finally make a move? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Only a newborn, LZ, makes you excited to get up at 5-something in the morning to go do a radio show. You forget what it's like to have that brand-new baby in the house, right? Just the constant attention. And our kids are all grown for the most part, or at least self-sufficient to a degree. Newborn baby, that's a game-changer.
Man, I have some friends. I have some friends who have recently had a newborn later in life. And I will take all the pictures in the world with them. I will buy all the cute little gifts in the world. I'm big into dolls and toys and dresses and pants and all of it. I love all of it as a guest star. I don't want to be I don't want to be a main character in your show. I will pop in and out as a guest star, say some witty things, hug, kiss, take pictures, and then I have to go back to my regularly scheduled program.
You want to be the favorite uncle. I get it.
Actually, we call them gunkles there, Travis.
Okay.
I think you That's can smart. Figure out why.
Yeah, no, I get the guh part of it. I think I can decipher the guh part of it.
All right, Shout out to all my gunkles listening right now.
I mentioned it a second ago. Here is the news from MLS. MLS revealed their plan this morning to resume play. The season's going to start next month on the 8th with a tournament featuring all 26 of the MLS team. And they're also going to do it in a bubble at Walt Disney World in Orlando. So they've got their plan ready to go. Here we are, June 10th, and maybe I'm missing one, LZ. The NFL has always had their plan. Basketball put together a plan. They're coming back at the end of July. The NHL is going to resume their season with the postseason and a little play-in tournament. MLS is back. Golf is back. NASCAR is back. We've seen all of these other things, and baseball is still going back and forth. That the latest is that the players have made a counterproposal back to MLB saying, hey, look, we'll play 89 games, but you have to pay us our full prorated version of our salaries and expand the playoffs. We're okay with that. The owners are basically saying, no, we're not going to do that. That's 25 fewer games than you offered last time, but it's still too many. We still don't want to pay that rate. We still don't want to pay a full prorated version of your salaries. And another day is going off the clock, another week, another month, and baseball is nowhere. And yet again, the MLS is ready to go. That's the next league that's ready to go. And baseball is nowhere. Nowhere.
I just, it's dumbfounding, isn't it? Like, it's really, really dumbfounding. Now, what we don't know is if the collection of owners in the NFL would have reacted differently under a different timeline. Like, the reason why baseball is so glaring is because we're in the midst of what should have been your season. The NFL, on the other hand, you know, they still obviously have time. It's a fall sport. I wonder if the mindset of the NFL owners is on par with baseball. They just have the luxury of time. Because football can be really stupid, too, from a PR perspective. That's why we still tell Mark Kaepernick 5 years after he played or whatever it was. Because they can't figure out how to get this messaging right. They can't figure out how to work this out correctly. But because they don't have to deal with it right now in the public eye, no one's really thinking about that. It's the baseball owners who look like asses right now. And this is your season that you've been charged with. This is your sport you're supposed to be safeguarding. And what this negotiation process is doing, and this is both sides. This is the players and owners, but I'm going to start with the owners because they haven't opened up any books, and it looks as if they're trying to pull an okey-doke on the players. What this is doing is undermining the popularity of your sport at a time in which you could be at your highest since the steroid era if you had done this right, because you don't have any competition. There's no competition. For a stretch, we couldn't even go to the beach. You could have owned our hearts because we would have had no choice. And you squandered it. You blew it. You could have had baseball on the 4th of freaking July, and you're blowing it. And I'm just so dumbfounded that they're so caught up in the pennies of today, they don't know how much gold they could have had tomorrow if they would have just started playing. It's so ridiculous.
I wonder, but look, baseball's union is remarkable. It is arguably the strongest union that we have in this country, that those guys don't break ranks. And even if somebody kind of sort of floats the idea of, hey, maybe we should consider some sort of concession, they very aggressively get smacked down and you don't hear from those guys again. We saw, going back to the strike, like you mentioned, there were some guys that crossed the lines, scabs, replacement players that came in, and they were basically looked at as second-class citizens for the rest of their careers, those that were able to stick in baseball after the work stoppage ended. I have a friend that was one of those guys, and to this day, whether it's reunion games, whether it's licensing money, all that stuff, they don't exist in that world. It's like it never happened. So they are incredibly ruthless and steadfast in their positioning. That being said, LZ, I really wonder what they're what's going through their head right now. They've been very good at not saying things out loud, and the things that have been said out loud have been things that are very supportive of the union. But you wonder if all the things that you've said, if all the things that I've said, if there's not a guy, and pick a guy, you know, the 18th guy on the roster of the Minnesota Twins who flips on his TV this morning and sees that the MLS is coming back and saying, are you kidding me? Are you – what are we doing, man? I get it. The owners are trying to stick it to us. I get it that they want us to play for a fraction of what we agreed to, but what are we doing to our game? What are we doing to our sport? What are we doing to my income over the course of the next couple of months? And the exact same thing on the other side, too, that is there not an owner somewhere saying, this is such a bad look. This is look, that soccer is back. Basketball is back. Hockey's back. They're going to have a golf tournament in Texas this weekend. There's going to be another NASCAR race this weekend. What are we doing? I would love to be able to crawl inside their heads for a moment and see if there's any sort of, I can't believe we're walking this road again. Let's get this fixed. Because if there's enough of those guys on both sides, there might be a deal to make. But if no one's ever going to say it out loud, if no one's ever going to go out publicly and say, we need to find a way to do this because we're going to look like a bunch of you-know-whats if we don't, it's not going to get done. There's going to be a standoff, and the victim is going to be us because we don't get baseball.
Yeah. What's the answer? How do you solve ego? You know, isn't that mm-hmm. basically the question? How do you solve the ego of a group of men who can buy anything they want and rarely hear the word no? Certainly not no from anyone they don't think is their equal. How do you solve that? How do you convince people that what they're doing is actually more causing more harm than good when what they're doing is how they made their money? By being tough negotiators, not giving in, showing them who's boss. That's how you made your money. And so now you're being told what made you a billionaire is not being smart right now. How do you convince someone otherwise? And that's the dilemma that I'm assuming the union is facing. I am convinced, Travis, that they're trying to get over using this pandemic as cover to correct the market that got out of control on them. And they're trying to put the squeeze. And we started noticing a couple of seasons ago during the offseason when they were reluctant to sign high quality players because they were trying to put the squeeze on guys, put a squeeze on this process. And it looks as if they're trying to do it again. And unless someone presents some information otherwise, that's just the way I'm going to view it. These guys are trying to put the squeeze on them using the coronavirus as cover, and they're willing to sacrifice a season to do it. And well, it's sad.
We'll ask Pedro Gomez these questions coming up at 7:15. But coming up next, would you rather Colin Kaepernick or Cam Newton? That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, another edition of our favorite game because it's not a snake draft, so at least I got a chance here. What do we got this morning, Ross?
Speaking of yeah. snake draft,
what's no, I'm not speaking of nothing.
Folks from yesterday.
Speaking
we'll
of nothing.
Get to that. All right, let me get to that. I haven't looked this morning. We will look at it. But that's right. This is would you rather. We've had some pressing questions, some decisions you must make, some hard decisions. This one will take us to the NFL, guys. Two quarterbacks, zero jobs. Four, let's just say, different reasons.
Hey, man, Bumpus.
But I want to know, would you rather, you're an NFL team, any NFL team, you can pick one if you want to make an example, or you can just an NFL team, would you rather sign Colin Kaepernick or Cam Newton? Just to give you something, Cam has played more games, 125, 9 years, obviously. Kaepernick would have been around the same race, but he's only played 69 games, 6 years. Cap's playoff record is 4-2, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Cam is 3-4, 10 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Quarterback rating career, Cap has a better quarterback rating than Cam, believe it or not. That isn't a hard move. 88.9, Cam is 86.1, and obviously rushing, they both can run their butts off. But who would you rather sign? LZ, I'll start with you.
This is an easy choice for me. I would much rather sign Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, easy choice, huh?
Easy choice. Okay. You're asking me, who would I rather sign? The dynamic QB who I know is healthy or the dynamic QB who may be healthy? Who would I rather sign? The dynamic QB who has proven to be a better passer? He may not have the running numbers, but do you doubt his abilities to run? So if you look at the arms, when you compare the two arms to me, I think Kaepernick's a better thrower of the football. And so I'm going to go there. I'm not scared of the attention because I'm a billionaire and I don't care. I can
handle it. Are you scared that you haven't seen Kaepernick on the field for 3.5 years?
I know the last time I saw Kaepernick, he was running in, and Travis, you know this.
Yeah.
He was running in for a game-winning score, right? Against,
that was the only two games they won all year long against the Rams.
All right. Okay.
And I know the last time I saw Cam, it didn't look good.
Right. Yeah, sooner. Okay. What about you, Travis?
Well, like you said, Raj, when you were kind of running down the numbers, they're really similar. They're very, very similar. They've both been to a Super Bowl, both lost the Super Bowl. They've both been at the highest points in their position in a Super Bowl setting. Cam, of course, is an MVP. Colin Kaepernick had never won an MVP. But it boils down to what LZ said, and it boils down to what you pointed out. We're talking about which do you feel better gambling on? A guy that's been hurt recently in Cam Newton, or a guy that has not played football in 4 seasons. And obviously him not playing has nothing to do with anything that he's done. But the fact of the matter is he hasn't played football in 4 seasons. And I'm not exactly sure what sort of rust accumulates not playing in the NFL for 4 years. Maybe it's not much. I don't know. Or maybe it's a ton. And if he does show up, he's going to look like a different guy. And that's why it's not an easy decision for me. LZ decided that, you know, he'll go with Kaepernick in an easy decision. I'm going to go with Cam in kind of a hand-wringing, splitting hairs decision. I think it is slightly Cam because I've seen him in the league more recently. I know that he missed the vast majority of last season, that when he wasn't in the league, when he was there early in the year, he didn't look right. And I know that at the end of the previous season, what would that be? That would be the 2018 season. He did not play particularly well towards the end of the year. And Key has said this a million times. Through the first 8 games of that 2018 season, Cam Newton was fantastic. He wasn't just good. He was really good. He was an MVP caliber quarterback as recently as 2018. So if he can get healthy, and I think that he probably can. I mean, again, we're talking about the better part of a season and change to get right. I think that you're going to get that version of Cam Newton again. I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that he's been eating his Flintstones chewables and he's healthy and ready to go, but I'm going to take Cam.
All right. Yeah, it's a close one. It's a tough decision. I agree, especially if Cam passes his physical and looks well. And just getting back to what you were asking, it's a snake draft results. Morning Show snake draft results. We did
it's a snake draft.
Best sports siblings based off of Serena and Venus's. It was 18 years ago. They appeared in their first Grand Slam. LZ has 70% of the vote, but there's still 2 hours left, Travis.
I can start my comeback now.
You can still
vote. You can start your comeback now.
So yeah, I got my 30%, which is about what I typically get. I get somewhere in the mid-20s to low-30s. That's kind of where I always land. So I'm consistent, if nothing else.
Yeah, and as you know, LZ will not receive full credit for this. You will have an asterisk by that win, however, LZ. But you still got 2 hours left. You can still vote for Travis on ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed.
Yeah, I don't
appreciate
know
being treated like I don't appreciate being treated like the Houston Astros. I get an Astros in my championship, but I cheated. I didn't do nothing wrong. Hey, I did not do anything wrong.
Let me ask you guys something really quick. Have either of you ever been to New Hampshire?
Yes. No.
You have, LC. Is there anything to do there? Because apparently they like to drink a lot of beer there. And my only assumption is that there must not be much to do because they lead the entire country in beer consumption per capita, nearly 2 gallons per person in New Hampshire, of all places.
Orally.
Well, listen, I have been to New Hampshire. That's a big state when it comes to, the primary process. So I've only been there for political reasons. So I've only seen New Hampshire when it's popping. And when it's popping, I wanted to drink. So I can only imagine what it's like when it's not popping, when it's just you and your business. Like, New Orleans is fun whether New Orleans has the Mardi Gras or not.
Right.
I don't believe New Hampshire is fun if there's no primary going on. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't know what else you do there besides freeze.
So looking at this list, I think I've come to the conclusion that if there's not a lot to do, people will turn to a beer. Number one, New Hampshire. Number two, Montana. Number three, Vermont. Four, North Dakota. Five, South Dakota. The top five, I'm trying to think, of all of these places, yep, it's I have not been to any of those five places. I'd have to do some math, but off the top of my head, I bet you I've been to 40 of the 50 states in this country, just roughly, rough guess. I've been to most of them. Five of the 10 uh-huh. that I haven't been to are at the top of the beer consumption list, and it doesn't take a genius to figure out why. Hey, what are you going to do today in North Dakota? I don't know. You got any beer? Yep. All right, let's get started. I don't know what else it might be.
But I'm shocked by Vermont, because Vermont is actually a really pretty state, a lot of good hiking. A lot of good fishing. You know, you're close to Canada and Montreal. And so I've been to Vermont a few times. I find Vermont to be very, very lovely. But again, I was only in Burlington, so I don't know what's going on in the rest of Vermont. So maybe people outside of Burlington have no choice but to drink to stay sane. Who knows?
Yes. New York, California, Florida, these places where there's stuff to do, not on the per capita list. On the total volume, because there's a lot of people, sure, but per capita, no. All right, Reggie Bush is coming back to USC, which is great news, but don't give credit where it doesn't belong. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.